Hey, this is Larry H. Russell here, featured columnist at CLNS Radio and executive producer of the number one Boston Celtics podcast on the web, Celtics Beat. And now, author. That's right, author. My debut book, Fall of the Boston Celtics, How Bad Luck, Bad Decisions Brought the Mighty Celtics Empire to Its Knees and Ushered in the Dark Ages, has already been called the definitive account of the infamous doldrum period in Celtics history. You think the Celtics are struggling now? Well, you got quite a short memory. Get the inside story from executives, general managers, staffs, players, media, fans, you name it, as I take you through a time in which how the Boston Celtics fell from the shining city on the hill and became entrenched in purgatory. And you'll see why. That's Fall of the Boston Celtics, available on clnsradio.com on January 5th. And you can't wait for the release? Well, tweet the hashtag Fall of the Boston Celtics to me, at CLNS_LHR. That's hashtag Fall the Boston Celtics at CLNS_LHR. And we'll pick one lucky follower and hand out a free copy on the January 4th episode of Celtics Beat. And now, on to your regularly scheduled programming.
Welcome to the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com.
Off the turnover, Rondo reverse, plants it in.
Fans, this is your destination for interactive Celtics coverage all season long.
Kelly still has time, takes it.
So what are you waiting for? We want to hear from you. Dial in at 347-215-7771.
Green out of the corner, got another one.
Now let's get it started.
Wow, what an interesting night. And for me, it's always interesting when the Celtics win. Anytime that I do this, they never win. So if you bet with me tonight, then I definitely apologize to you. Welcome to the Celtics postgame show right here on CLNS Radio. Powered by Lynda. That's LYNDA.com. Kickstart the new year. Challenge yourself to learn something new with the free trial to Lynda.com from CLNS Radio. Go to www.lynda.com, that's LYNDA.com/CLNS to redeem your free trial today. Make sure you do it right now. Don't hesitate. You recognize my voice as always, or probably you don't. I'm Brian Langford. You can follow me on Twitter at Brian A. Lyon. And you can also follow my co-host tonight, the legendary, probably the smarter one of the group tonight, because Warren, I am probably the most crazy person to ever do this show. A good friend of mine is now. It's Mr. Warren Shaw. Warren, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much, man. Yeah, you're a little bit crazy, but you do it right, man. That's why the fans love you out here. So don't be down on yourself too much, brother.
Oh man, trust me, believe me, man. Last couple of seasons, or even last week, you know, I get crazy stuff from saying, oh, do you see what Rondo's doing to us now, Brian? Do you really want to let him go? I'm like, yes, I'm not going to lose. You're not going to make me back off my opinion about Rondo, but that's what they do best. Well, good news tonight, ladies and gentlemen. The Boston Celtics win a game, which a lot of people are probably getting tired of Boston winning games, but I don't believe in the T word. The Celtics defeat the Brooklyn Nets, which I'm starting to feel like Matt Murray. I want to call them the New Jersey Nets because I'm so adapted to it. It's like Brooklyn still doesn't flow, but defeat the Brooklyn Nets 89-81. Avery Bradley was the high scorer tonight. 21 points and 4 rebounds for Avery Bradley. Listen, I usually run numbers around. I'm not going to run a lot of numbers off tonight. I just like to talk about probably the game and the future of the Boston Celtics here. Looking at this team right now, Tyler Zeller did play well too as well. Somebody just texted me, but don't forget about Tyler Zeller. I got big Tyler Zeller fans that usually text me left and right during the show. The future, or even the present right now, Warren, you know, people are saying the Celtics should go ahead and, you know, put this one in the bag too and tank. I hate to say that word, tank. Warren, are you a guy that believes in tanking? Because I think I know you, but I hope you don't go the opposite way with me just to be like, yeah, Brian, I believe in tanking.
No, I definitely don't. I mean, I think you want to put the best product out there and the best team you can at every time. Now, where people will think I'm saying to tank is that I don't believe that they have the pieces that are going to be long-term. So in that regard, I do think Ainge should be trying to shop some of these guys. Like I said, I'd be stunned and amazed if Jeff Green and Brandon Bass, and I'm sure throughout the CLNS network, that has been a topic of conversation, you know, for weeks now. I'd be stunned if those two guys are still on the team, you know, come the end of the trade deadline. And that in turn is probably going to make the team a little bit worse. But at the end of the day, I don't see them as pieces that you keep, you know, right now. I think you do need to get younger pieces and accumulate the draft picks so that maybe you can make a trade for a big name guy over the summer or whenever someone becomes available. So in that regard, you know, people will say, oh, then you believe in tanking. It's not that. I just think that they don't have the players that are going to be here long term.
Yeah, I mean, I keep saying that Jeff Green is probably auditioning for another team right now. You look at the way the guy's playing right now. He's playing out of his world. To me, he's playing out of his world. And I think he makes a good six man on a contender. And I know a lot of people would say, hey, Brian, why you want to get rid of Jeff Green now? Well, the thing is, Jeff Green's not – Brandon Bass probably is starting to – to me, Brandon Bass is starting to slowly but surely fall out of rotation. Yeah, he got 20 minutes tonight, but they're starting to go with Zeller, you know, Sully a little bit more, even – they're even going with three smaller – well, not three smaller guards, but they're going with the three-guard thing. Let's talk about Marcus Smart's move back to the bench. It was – I think Brad Stevens – let me first give credit where credit is due. Brad Stevens is working with this team. He's moving guys around left and right. I like Mark on the bench, but I think – I'll say this. I think we're all forgetting that he's just a rookie. So he makes a lot of mistakes – when he gets on the floor. I personally, Warren, would like to see Marcus Smart attack the basket more. He's so much of a and everybody's compared him to this guy. He's so much of a Dwayne Wade where he can attack you. He can get the fouls. He can get to the line. I don't want to see Marcus Smart become jump shot happy. I don't think that's the strengths to his game, Warren.
No, you're right, man. And again, he happened to do well tonight, 3 of 5 and 2 of 4 from beyond the arc or whatever, but I've been saying it since summer league. I just said, why is he shooting so many threes? He doesn't have a jump shot. So a guy who is not coming into the league and not having a jump shot, and all he does is shoot three-pointers, it's beyond me. Like something like 60% of the shots he's taken in the NBA right now have been three-point shots. I'd love to see him in that mid-range, and as you mentioned too, I'd love to see him attacking the basket and getting to the rim. We know he's not terribly quick, but he is physical, so you can almost kind of bully his way to the basket at times. But you're starting to see he played a very good floor game, I think, this evening. You know, was able to find a couple guys on a couple passes there. I think he had 3 assists. And he was very, very physical. He cut off Jarrett Jack one time, I remember, late in the fourth quarter where Jack thought he had blew by him, and he cut him off. And, you know, actually Jack ended up kicking the ball off of his foot, and, you know, Boston got the ball back. So I do like the small strides that he's making. I do believe right now he's best suited in that reserve unit. Seems to be very, very comfortable there. And as far as Stevens' rotations, I think he's finally starting to figure things out a little bit. You know, roughly 40-plus games in, now he kind of knows what he wants to do. And I think, Smart coming off the bench is definitely the right move for right now.
So basically what fans will probably tell me tonight is, Brian, stop bashing Brad Stevens and give him a chance. Well,
oh no,
again,
no.
I'll give him. Don't stop. Basically,
no, keep it going. I'm saying small strides he's making with the rotation. Small strides. And again, the same thing with Bass. You know, he was out of the rotation a few games ago. Now he's starting to now he's getting back in. And like you said, he played 20 minutes tonight. So, you know, he's still a little bit confused. And I know there was a lot of talk going into tonight's game because I think all 15 guys were available. Then he's like, okay, well, it was too many options. And for him, that's what it's been. He just had too many options because the team is so even in terms of talent. He doesn't know what to do. But I think slowly he's starting to figure it out. But keep bashing, Brian. Keep going at him.
Let's talk about the other side of Brooklyn for a minute, because we could talk about Boston all night. I always call him the Celtics killer. I guess somebody always says he's not really the killer, but he is. And they contain him tonight, which is Joe Johnson. 17 points in 37 minutes of play. Brooklyn has kind of won. They haven't found their identity all year long. I think Kevin Garnett is basically rolling in on the wheelchair every single night. I mean, I get it. 10 points, 8 rebounds. I mean, that's probably the most Garnett's had in about 3 years. Darren Williams, I don't know what's going on with this guy. I mean, let's talk a tad bit about Brooklyn. I mean, losing to this Celtics team tonight, I mean, what kind of confidence, I mean, do you have? Because the Brooklyn Nets are so up and down. But if they want to be a threat in the East, and I put the air quotes up, threat in the East, I mean, what can they do? I mean, because to be honest, Warren, the Brooklyn Nets are going to the playoffs. I mean, to get the eighth seed in the East, you probably would have to win 33 games. If you can win 33 games, you'll get the eighth seed. Brooklyn will get in the playoffs. But what does Brooklyn have to do night in and night out to improve? Because tonight, I didn't see a team that could be a threat. And the only reason I keep saying threat is because there are a couple of people that I personally know that told me they thought coming to this season, Brooklyn would be a better team moving on from Paul Pierce. That scratched my head on that.
Yeah, it's real tough right now. You like Ryan Hollins, he's a good coach, you know, by and large, and has the buy-in of most players and anywhere he's really went. But they have had a lot of, I want to say, kind of turnover and some turmoil in terms of their rotation as well. You know, some of the guys are struggling with what their roles are going to be. You know, Lopez went down again. You know, I forget what the injury was this time. And now he's back and he's been coming off the bench. And Darren Williams, same thing. Darren Williams, they just put on the bench. And they've had a couple games where they've been able to shine in those roles. But those are your two highest paid players. And Lionel Hollins is sticking to it. He's like, he doesn't give a damn. He doesn't care how much money they make. He doesn't feel like they're giving the effort that he wants to see out there. And he's comfortable bringing them off the bench. And now Williams, again, is hurt with, you know, something's wrong with his side. And Jarrett Jack has been the guy who's really been trying to bolster that team. So they went on a little bit of a stretch where they were starting to get a couple wins here and there. But I think they've hit a rough patch again. And this roster, again, it there's just so much of it is in flux. Many, many, many trade rumors going around. Whether they're going to keep Lopez, whether they're going to keep Williams, whether Garnett is going to be on his way out too. Hollins just needs to figure out, again, can he get Lopez and Williams to buy into whatever their role is, whether they're going to be the sixth and seventh man off the bench on a regular basis, and that's just what it is, and they have no hope of getting to the starting lineup, and then they have to buy into it and accept it. But I think those two players are such keys to them that if they're not right in the head in terms of, you know, being on the same page with Hollins, they're going to have a hard time throughout the rest of the season.
And, you know, definitely, I agree. I still think there is a team out there that will call Brooklyn and ask Brooklyn about the availability of Kevin Garnett. Now, don't get me wrong. Kevin Garnett doesn't offer you that much, and he's making a boatload of money this year. But if you can get his veteran leadership on your bench, he's a guy that can sort of kind of lead your team to a different direction, whether it's just leadership-wise. Kevin Garnett is not on the floor no more to score 25 and 15 rebounds. That's just KG. That didn't happen no more. So I really think that this Brooklyn Nets team will be different come February, whether it's Darren Williams, whether it's Kevin Garnett, whether it's even Brooke Lopez. I've even heard Brooke Lopez for Kendrick Perkins, which God knows I don't know what Brooklyn would be thinking moving Brooke Lopez for Kendrick Perkins, but I see because they love Plumlee so much that they're willing just to part ways with Brooke Lopez Kendrick Perkins.
Wouldn't that, not to cut you off, wouldn't that be because I think Perkins' contract is coming up, so maybe that's what would be a salary dump.
Yeah, but golly, like, man, but you got to feel bad for Perk, man. Perk gets traded from Boston. Boston fans go crazy, and Perk hasn't been the same Perk. So that looks like Danny Ainge won that battle. Kevin Garnett, you know, waves his no-trade clause, and he gets rid of Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett's kind of a shell of himself. Didn't bring back Pierce for the $15 million. Paul Pierce hasn't really been he's been hitting and miss. So Danny Ainge right now is he's played it right. I just think over the years he didn't address the draft right and trying to rebuild in the process while the team started falling off. All right, you guys can give us a call at 3-4. We know it's late, but you guys can give us a call at 347-215-7771. Kickstart your new year and challenge yourself to learn something new with the free 10-day trial from Lynda. That's LYNDA.com. Lynda is used by millions of people around the world and has over 4,500 courses on topics like web development, photography, visual design, and business, as well as software training like Excel, WordPress, and Photoshop. All of their courses are taught by experts, and new courses are added to the site every week. Whether you want to set new financial goals, find work, life balance, invest in a new hobby, Ask your boss for a raise, find a new job, or improve job skills in 2015. Lynda.com has something for everyone. The benefits of Lynda.com is it's easy. Unlimited access to every course on Lynda.com. And this is doing your free 10-day trial. You got to think about this, Warren. You get a 10-day trial and you get to unlimited access. You sold me right there on unlimited access. Access to view tutorials on tablets, iPhone, and Android mobile devices. Access to new courses added every single week. So you think about it. If you got a Galaxy, if you got an iPad, if you got a tablet, you can check this out and you can get a free 10-day trial. See, I take advantage of the word free, Warren. I don't know about you, but when somebody tells me free, whether it's a free soda, free bag of chips, a free day off of work, I don't know about you, Warren. Are you like that when somebody says the word free?
Free is great, bro. Listen, I'll tell you a little something. Sometimes, I don't know if everyone knows out there, when you go somewhere to like a restaurant, fast food or whatever the case may be, and then if you paid your money for whatever, a lot of times they'll be giving you free food on your next visit if you fill out some, you know, little BS survey that might take you 2 or 3 minutes of your time, you know, online or whatever the case may be. And then you might get a free whatever, a free sandwich, free fries or whatever the case may be. Free is where it's at. So if you can get some free education, hell yeah, you need to get jump on that, people, right now. Go to Lynda.com.
Don't forget, that's Lynda, Lynda.com. Turn it back to the game here, which we definitely love Lynda.com for everything that they do. The Celtics, I mean, you know, people say it's not a lot to talk about, but there always is because, like you said, all 15 guys being available tonight usually is something that teams don't do. I wonder, Warner, just in your opinion, why did Brad make all 15 players available tonight? Was it maybe, you know, maybe at some point I'll play this five here, and this five here? Or was it just, you know, I don't know what it could be for, because I've never seen too many teams make 15 players active. I've seen teams make maybe 9, 10, maybe 11, 15 players active tonight. That says to me that Brad Stevens is still trying to find probably the best, what, 9 or 10 guys that are ready to play each and every night and that are consistent on the floor?
Yeah. Well, if I'm correct on this. I believe that you can activate 12, but usually somebody's always out, so you don't even have to worry about it, so you just don't activate that guy who's out for whatever the case may be. But if all 15 guys were finally healthy, so then he had to make a decision on who he was not going to make active even, so they still went to the lineup with 12 guys who were active. And you know, yeah, it's been a real, real tough thing for Stevens trying to figure out what he's going to do. And again, I've been beating the drum on it. I'm sure if anybody's actually been listening to me talk, especially on CLNS or on our podcast, The Baseline, I've just been like, yo, I don't know what he's doing with these rotations. I just don't understand. I don't understand. And if I can parlay something like a little bit here into another NBA comparison, here you have Stevens with this talent and roster. And I know the talent is going to be different from the other team we're going to talk about. But you have him struggling with this roster, doesn't know who to play, plays everybody roughly 17, 18 minutes a night or whatever. Then you have Jason Kidd in Milwaukee, who's doing the exact same thing. There is not a set rotation. Everybody gets set, like gets the same amount of minutes per se, and they're able to win. And I know the talent disparity is a little bit different, and it's hard for me to believe that Milwaukee is a better basketball team than Celtics right now, but that just seems to be what it is. And Kidd might be a better basketball coach than Brad Stevens is too. So it's not to say that it can't happen, that you can't win using this style. But for right now, Brad Stevens isn't really getting the job done on a regular basis with his team. And I'm going to beat the drum some more. I just feel like he needs to cut it down one way or another, decide it's going to be these 8, these 9 guys, and just call it a day. I don't know how you feel about it, Brian. Why don't you chime in on that?
Oh, no. Listen, when it comes to me, if I was a coach, let me tell you this, if I was a coach, I'm playing 9 guys, maybe 10. Because if you keep saying, I'm just throwing names out there. If you say Brandon Bass, tonight you're going to play 25 minutes. Then tomorrow you're going to play 3 minutes. Well, if I'm Brandon Bass, I'm pissed. Let me call a spade, I'm pissed. I don't want to play 3 minutes and then 25 minutes. I want to see what these guys can give me. As a matter of fact, if I'm Brad Stevens, I would start advertising guys. Brandon Bass, Jeff Green, advertise them. I mean, hey, somebody will pick up the phone and call Danny and say, hey, Danny, you want to do business? You know, you can have such and such for Brandon Bass. I like Brandon Bass in this team. I think Brandon Bass has hustled over every single season that he's been here. But you have to move on. You have to start over. When I say starting over, I guess the Celtics took Avery Bradley and said, look, strange as this is going to say, Warren, we're going to build around Avery Bradley. I know, Warren. Yeah. Think about it. We're going to build around.
That's, no, I shudder. I shudder at the thought. No.
Yes, but look at his contract. Look at he got the contract he wanted. He did. We all knew that, you know, Danny Ainge is possibly going to trade Rondo, so he got his contract. So you're going to say Bradley, Sully, these are the guys we're probably going to take. And we're going to build the young guys around them. That means we're going to get guys like James Young in the draft. He's doing well down in with the D-League team and everything, with the main clause and everything. But he's getting called back up sooner or later. I say this to say that. At the end of the night, I want to play 10 guys. The other guys going to have to kind of watch. I don't think Jameer Nelson to hang around this team too much longer. I think Brad Stevens is a smart man. Jameer Nelson is an NBA veteran who, to me, is humble right now being a Boston Celtic. So I think what you do is you reward him and you buy him out and you let him go chase that ring that he can't get right now. There's certain guys you have to let go. Nobody wants Jerry Wallace's contract, so Jerry Wallace is stuck in Boston. Like I said, in the night, you play nine, and you go with that. Still going to support Brad Stevens. I still think Danny Ainge at the end of the year, or maybe somewhat in between next year, will say, you know what? Enough's enough. I don't think this guy is the guy for this job. You know, you're asking a first-year NBA head coach or a second year now to turn this team around. I think you kind of need that recycled coach. I hate to use that word recycled, but you definitely do need that recycled coach. Warren, before I forget, I've been doing this, and Sean and I have done this on the Evening Score Sports Podcast. I think you guys are going to do it sometime. Here at CLNS Radio, we wanted to extend our condolences to the late, great ESPN anchor, Stuart Scott, who passed away Sunday morning. He reminded us that he didn't lose his battle to cancer. He beat cancer. You know, so here we just want to extend our love out to Stuart Scott, because Stuart Scott gave people, like, especially, you know, and I'm not going to go deep into it, but he gave African-Americans an opportunity to do this and be ourselves and not be nobody else, or don't change our appearance, our voice. To me, I called Stuart Scott the Allen Iverson of sports broadcasting, where he brought that hip hop theme and he brought, you know, his slogans cooler than the other side of the pillow and booyah. So, you know, Warren, I definitely want to, you know, let you say a couple things about the late, great Stuart Scott, because that guy's definitely going to be missed, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you so much. More than anything else, he was unwavering in his approach to sports broadcasting, and very well loved, you know, in terms of his celebrity and his entertainment value that he brought to ESPN and the way he really did change the game. But again, you know, all accounts say that he was just an amazing person, and a great father. And that's how you really want to live your life. And, you know, whenever the time comes for you to leave this earth, you want people to be able to say those types of things about you. Not only were you great in your profession, but you were even a better person, a better father, a better husband than you were, you know, in the job that millions of people seem to know you in. And you said it right. I think that's a great analogy with Allen Iverson, that he really just, I remember growing up, and I was in high school when he first came out, and just thinking, I was like, this guy's different. You know what I mean? And he really made me want to watch SportsCenter. And I'm not going to lie, you know, he never changed. He never changed that format. So after a while, to me, it kind of wore on me. I was just like, all right, well, Stuart Scott's still doing this thing. But the fact, again, that type of perseverance was amazing. And he didn't care what anybody had to say. And he lived his life the way that he thought it should. And ESPN supported him. And again, like you said, it's definitely a loss for the sports industry. But definitely, you know, go out to the Scott family and his daughters that he's leaving behind.
Definitely. Rest in peace. Great Stuart Scott. Gone, but never forgotten. You definitely left an impact on this earth, buddy. Trust me and believe me. I had to do a warning. I feel like, you know, I didn't do it for CLNS Radio to get ratings or anything like that. That just honestly comes from the heart, because personally, I've been the cancer thing with both my parents. And I know how it is for his girls right now, who are 19 and 15, who have to endure the pain and go through this process, but it is a healing. So yeah, we are praying for the Scott family. Interesting stat tonight here, Warren. I don't think you know this. Now, I want you to think about this. This is the Celtics' first road win since December the... Golly, I always lose my stuff now right in front of me. Since December the 18th. There it is, yep. This is their first road win since December the 18th. Do you know who was on this team before that happened?
No, I actually did not.
Oh, good old Rondo. Good old Rondo. We won the, so the Celtics have won their first, they won their first road game since trade for Rondo. So that's very, wow. I think it's kind of crazy there. So, Warren, the Celtics are fighting. They're fighting. And I want to get your thoughts on Evan Turner holding down the starting point guard role, which I'm like 50-50 on it. Evan Turner can bring the ball down, yes. But God knows, like Warren, I'm going to a Boston game sometime this year. I've already painted my red stop sign that says, stop, don't shoot. Because when Evan Turner gets the ball, it's like I'm watching J.R. Smith, like, in Boston. And it's like I cross my fingers and go, is he going to pass? Is he going to – what is he really going to do? Is Brad Stevens trying to develop Evan Turner into your every night point guard, or is this just a temporary move because the Celtics really don't have a point guard unless you're saying if Jameer Nelson is going to start for a while or Phil Pressey off the bench? Because I think Smart, Bradley, and Evan Turner, I think all three of those guys play more of the two in the point guard role.
Yeah, their infatuation for Turner is a little confusing to me. Especially with how they felt like he really can handle the point guard position. He's doing all right in it right now. I mean, he has 7 assists, I believe, tonight. And, you know, his first start, I guess his first true start, I think he dropped 11 dimes, not in that game. But then the game versus Chicago not so long ago, he drops 28 points and, you know, maybe 4 or 5 assists as well. And he is a little bit shoot first, but I think this is a role he has to develop in. He does have pretty good basketball instincts, but for the point guard position, he's probably not quick enough to play that on a regular basis. But, you know, that's what they're going to do. They're going to run him out there and try to hope that his physicality and size can be, you know, be a mismatch for opposing point guards. I can't remember which game that was where he was just getting just lambasted at the point guard position. Someone was just running past him. It was running all over him. And you just saw that was evident there, that he just didn't have what it took to really be the defender he needed to be on the point guard side of things. But offensively, again, that mid range is where he kind of lives. If you involve him in pick and roll, he can make the right decisions, but sometimes again he gets bottled up and he's not a great penetrator or great dribbler. He's average at best. But again, I don't know if they're going to do anything else. This is kind of the role that they have. You see, the team has run pretty decently when Jameer's been in there. But as you mentioned earlier, Jameer is not part of the solution here. They probably have him now only to try to trade him before the trade deadline. And if they are unable to move him, they probably will buy him out, you know, right at the trade deadline, because he definitely deserves better than being on this team where he has no use. But Evan Turner at the point guard position, I think it's just something Boston is stuck with right now.
Whew, that's kind of like brutal. Like, I sit back and think about it. Evan Turner is our starting point guard. And you start to say to yourself, is this really the solution? Is this really the future for the point guard role in Boston? I mean, I guess it's somewhat of a positive, because tonight, and I don't know if it's a season low or not, which I would love to have Adam Lowenstein with us because he knows all these numbers, which I play around with sometimes and call myself Stats Brian, but I don't have that stat with me tonight. But tonight, the Celtics, 6 turnovers, Warren. Yeah. That's the number 6. Avery Bradley had 2 of those turnovers. Tyler Zeller 1. Jeff Green 1. Jared Sullinger 1. Kelly Olynyk 1. Guys are taking care of the basketball better. I like to see that. The Celtics had 22 assists. I mean, let's ask the question, Warren. I'm not even going to duck it no more. I'm trying to duck it, but I know that it makes Celtics fans upset if I go this direction. Can the Celtics make the playoffs? Because I think if, and only if, they play this right, they can get the 8th seed. And somebody goes, what's the purpose of getting the AFC? I think I've said this to you before, Warren. You only one team can win a championship. For the Celtics, if they can get an AFC, that's an improvement. That's telling free agents, hey, look, Boston's getting better real fast, so you better put them on your radar. What is it a winning season if the Celtics make the playoffs and get an AFC?
I mean, it's a winning season because, again, you always want to – you don't want to be tanking. You want to be trying to make the best push that you can on a regular basis. And I do think that they have an outside chance at the AFC, but it is going to take a Brooklyn or right now, I guess, a Miami to falter. And Boston is not as talented as Miami is, so I can't imagine that they can catch either one of these two teams. But if Brooklyn were to, you know, blow it up, then there's a distinct possibility that, you know, the Celtics could sneak into that eighth seed. I think the team that you have to watch, really two teams you need to watch, is the Detroit Pistons right now. They are hot on the heels right now of catching those seventh and eighth seed guys, because they just, since moving Josh Smith, they're just another level. And I think Charlotte's going to end up playing a little bit better too. You know, they had a big win tonight. Kemba Walker had a game winner. And they're still waiting for Lance Stephenson to eventually come back. They may or may not move him, but now Avery Jefferson's out a while too. I think those are the teams that Boston is really going to be fighting with to try to get into the playoffs per se. But it's going to be close. It's going to be really, really tight. I don't know that they're definitely going to do it, but they're going to be in the conversation for sure, because this roster, because of its evenness, just isn't really that bad. And if they play like tonight, like you said, six turnovers, and that has to be a season low, you know, and 22 assists, that's exactly how you win the game when you shoot 39%. You know what I mean? You didn't turn the ball over. So they won a game where they shot, well, I guess roughly 40%, and they allowed Brooklyn to turn the ball over 17 times. So games like this, you know, I think they're a little bit of the anomaly more than they are the norm. But they definitely, if they can play at this level where they're very careful with the basketball and evenly distribute the scoring like this, they really have a chance to beat anybody at any time.
All right. Boston goes on the road to play at Indiana, at Toronto, and home for the Pelicans. These two road games, Indiana, even though without Paul George, they're a tough team at home, and the Celtics have Toronto. They travel to Toronto, and that's pretty much it. Yeah, that's back-to-back nights. Two crucial games for the Celtics. You think the Celtics will probably pull off both of those? Because I think on a back-to-back, going from Indy to Toronto, playing two physical teams, this is a tough. You know, it's not really a stretch, but it's two tough road games for the Celtics, man. And maybe, just maybe, Warren, if they can sneak both of these road games out, people start to look at Boston as a potential AFC. I don't care. I like the AFC. Don't get me wrong. Because in the AFC, no matter what you do, for some reason, you get like this big praise of being the AFC. I watched Atlanta be an AFC before when they played Boston in 2007-2008 season. It was like when they had a chance to put Boston out, everybody was rooting for Atlanta to beat Boston. So AFCs do get a lot of credit, but Warren, back-to-back road games, Celtics stand a chance or not?
Nah, I don't like those games for Boston right now. Not to be a Debbie Downer or whatever it is that they call it, but Indiana is playing decent basketball. And like you said, they're very, very tough at home, and they have been the pushover that they were supposed to be with all the injuries that they've had. But now they have Hibbert and West back, and when you have legitimate bigs, Boston usually does struggle against guys like that, especially traditional post-up guys who can really score from in the low post, unlike Wes and Hibbert, and I think you're going to see them struggle there. And then Toronto, going, you know, with the second, I guess they're the second best team right now in the Eastern Conference, going on the road there, that's just not a proposition that Boston should fare well in. DeRozan may also be back by that game too, so maybe if he's not really up to speed and they might be trying to force him into the lineup and, you know, maybe they get a couple of bad positions, maybe Boston can keep it close per se. But Toronto should really be a team that you know, Boston is not even on the same level with right now. So I think those are two tough games. Indiana, obviously, with a slightly better chance of winning than they would in winning against the Toronto Raptors.
You know, Warren, we're going to go like, I don't want to take nothing away from your show this week. So I'm going to slow down because I don't want to go too much in the baseline, but I have to ask you this. We're going to completely shift gears on this one. That the Cavaliers have acquired J.R. Smith, Amon Shumpert, Deion Waiters has been traded to Oklahoma City, which we all thought that Reggie Jackson was a New York Knick, but that didn't happen. LeBron James, it came out today that LeBron James was the one who basically has signed off on this trade. Was it? Here's what I'm getting upset about with LeBron again. I like LeBron. I've respected LeBron over the years because he has taken that step in his career by becoming a threat. But it looks like all the mileage that he got in Miami, looks like that tire needs more tread on it. Looks like that oil needs to be changed in that machine because he just doesn't look the same no more. But you have to figure this. In one season, he has gotten rid of Deion Waiters and Andrew Wiggins. I just want to know, Warren, I mean, what does he see in J.R. Smith? Put a blindfold on. J.R. Smith is still going to shoot the ball. He does not care. What did LeBron say? Okay, you know what? I'm just tired of Deion Waiters. I can't take this no more. I don't know what this guy, who this guy thinks he is. Get him off my team. I mean, I have to know, Warren, because you guys are the NBA guys of CLNS Radio.
Man, again, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be an insider. I'm not a Wojo or anything like that, man. And I don't know what happened there with Waiters, but it just appears that it felt like they wanted to do something to shake up that chemistry. It's an interesting time now with LeBron being out and injured and, you know, potentially due back next week. And they got a pretty significant haul for the players and things that they gave up. I was a little curious with the Mozgov trade. I think earlier it was reported that it was 2 second-rounders, which I thought was like, all right, well, I guess that's fair. But now it's 2 heavily protected first-rounders. I mean, it's heavily protected, but to give up 2 first-round picks, one of which wasn't their own anyway, initially, for Mozgov is, again, I think that's very curious. And with LeBron, yeah, you have to think he's pulling the strings here. I think what happened, though, really, if we break down this deal for Cleveland, is that Smith is almost a byproduct of what Cleveland really wanted. They wanted Shumpert because they wanted a guy who was able to help defend on the perimeter. And, you know, was sometimes a capable scorer as well, and even a playmaker to some degree. And I think the Knicks were like, all right, to make this happen, you have to take Smith too. And I think that's what opened up the doors for Waiters to potentially be out. Because I think they were really trying to acquire Shumpert more than anybody else. And Smith is a flashier name, and that's what everybody's kind of keyed in on. But defense is where Cleveland has been lacking. So I don't think they went after Smith, thinking, okay, we want to get somebody to help us with the offensive thing. They went after Shumpert and, you know, almost had to take Smith as a result of trying to get Shumpert in the deal.
And then he goes, speaking already, stating that he will go back with the Cavaliers. I see Oklahoma has asked him not to with their team because of the whole James Harden thing. I mean, do you honestly believe that Cleveland held Deion Waiters back? I mean, Deion Waiters is speaking like I'm the next superstar in the NBA, and playing with LeBron was holding me back. I mean, I'm going to disagree with Deion. I'm sorry, Warren. I don't think Deion is a threat. I think he's decent, but, you know, all this talk about being held back in Cleveland and all this other crap, I'm not buying it.
No, me neither, man. And you know, I think the entire world was really shocked when he was selected as high as he was as a draft pick, you know, some years ago now, because he was a sixth man at Syracuse or whatever. So it's just like, well, what do you mean? You're making this guy the number 3 pick in the draft. It just, that was, again, another curious thing there. And it's great to have that type of confidence in yourself. And we'll see if he goes to OKC and if he can really shine in a role there. I think it's very interesting that they're going to pair him up with Reggie Jackson. Oh, I don't know if they're going to end up moving Reggie Jackson at some point, or if Waiters is just the insurance for this season. That, to me, seems like 2 very ball-dominant players that you're trying to bring off into your second unit right there for OKC. And I don't know. We hope it works out for them, I guess. And, you know, maybe OKC can get back into the thick of the playoff race out there. But Waiters is not a guy who I don't see as a franchise player. I don't think he's ever really going to make an all-star team. If he does get a chance to go somewhere where he's the lead guy, he might put up some insane numbers and be terribly inefficient doing so. But again, not somebody that I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get that guy on my roster. So I definitely agree with you, Ryan. I'm not a big Waiters guy at all.
Yeah, I mean, good luck to you, Deion Waiters. I mean, but I don't know what Oklahoma City was thinking. Maybe, I think Roberson has played pretty decent this year. Perry Jones the third. I mean, I don't know what the Deion Waiters thing. I don't get it. I get it for New York. New York just dumping. After a while, Carmelo is going to be on the floor by himself. If they dump any more players, because they just waived Dallenberg, it's going to be Carmelo versus the world. I think that's why they're trying to get Carmelo to shut down, because they're saying, look, you're going to be playing with all practice squad guys eventually. Like, go ahead, shut down. It's okay. You're not a quitter. You're just playing it smart. I mean, the fans are chanting fire Fisher, and I mean, it's getting brutal to be in New York. But the Boston Celtics defeat the Brooklyn Nets 89-81 tonight. Fans, you should be happy that the Celtics are winning games. I do not agree with tanking. Warren, anything you got in closing before we get up out of here? Because guess what? I can be honest with the fans. 5:30 a.m. rolls quick.
So you got to get up out of here. I hear that, man. No, I mean, I think just in closing, you know, I really did like the overall effort, especially in the fourth quarter tonight from Boston, especially the beginning of the fourth quarter when the reserves were out there really doing their thing. You saw some great effort plays from Smart, some great effort plays from Jay Crowder, who I really do like as a piece, you know, somebody to keep on a roster, a nice rotation guy. Really does try very hard on both ends of the basketball floor. And to me, I think that's something that, you know, Brad Stevens should hang his hat on a little bit. Look at the guys who played tonight. Look at the effort they gave you on both ends. And I think that's something you stay with. You know, Pressey didn't get in. Wallace didn't get in. Unfortunately, the guy they traded Rondo for, the main guy, Brandon Wright, he didn't get in either. But I definitely think this was a nice little start to something that Boston can hopefully build on for the rest of the season.
You know what, ladies and gentlemen? I always say this because I like to – I challenge myself and I challenge people. So I want you to do yourself something good. Make a challenge to yourself. Sign up for a free 10-day trial at lynda.com. That's LYNDA/CLNS. Challenge yourself because, remember, the 10-day trial gets you unlimited access to every course on lynda.com. Listen, free, unlimited, and new. Those are the three words that have sold me tonight. So before I go to bed, I'm going to make sure I get my 10-day trial. Make sure you get your 10-day trial. Don't be afraid. And remember, if you like it, then you continue on with it. And we know that you're going to love it, but they give you a 10-day trial. Take advantage of it. Don't say that we have not tried to educate you guys tonight and try to give you guys something free. So you never get nothing free in this world. Tonight, CLNS Radio is giving you something free. That is a 10-day trial for lynda.com, LYNDA. Again, the Celtics defeat the Nets tonight, 89-81. Avery Bradley did his thing. Thanks to my man, Warren Shaw, the NBA baseline. Let him know, Warren. Let him know when you guys, you know, air your show and everything. Hey, blast it. Put it on blast, brother.
Oh, man, I appreciate it for sure. Catch us, the NBA Baseline Podcast. We air our shows on Mondays. Usually drops at around 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning each Monday. Discussing all topics from the NBA. We always have a lot of great guests on the show. You know, we cover different topics, whether that's teams, players, even some of the off-court news sometimes as well. Definitely you can catch us on Twitter as well, NBA_baseline. My Twitter, ShawSportsNBA, or my homeboy, my co-host, IPNC, Calvert Lee, his Twitter, Gameface Lee. Definitely check us out Mondays, the baseline here on CLNS Radio, man. I appreciate that.
Oh, now, Warren, now I'm going to promote our show, but I'm going to tell you that it's the best show on the network. And there's no offense to nobody else on the network. It's one love. You know, it's one love. And we are a family. But Sean Backey knows that the Evening Score Sports Podcast, how we go, because we record on Sundays. That thing is Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. If I got it right, Sean, don't shoot me. Sean has my number, so he'll send me a text and go, Brian, you just jacked our whole promo up. But we get everything out there for you guys. We dig deep into everything. Sports, we even jump into some beats and eat stuff, which Nick Gelso definitely loves. And even Sean has even joined in on Scoring in the Evening, where we give dating tips. It started off, Warren, it's funny real quick. It started off as a segment that just happened out the blue. And eventually we started bringing Sean into it because Sean is the married man. So If you're going to take dating tips, take dating tips from the married guy. Don't take dating tips from me. I'm single. I have no woman coming over. So you, people probably shouldn't listen to me, but trust me, believe me, I do score. Which you, you get where I'm going with that. I do score. That's not a problem.
I'm leaving it alone.
Stability. Stability is the hard thing. All right, ladies and gentlemen. With that being said, appreciate my guy Warren Shaw hanging out with me tonight. Man, that being said, you guys have a blessed night. Boston Celtics, they're going to get the AFC. They're going to the playoffs. I don't care what you say. Keep faith in this team. Keep it green and keep it clean. We're out.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.